Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, August 5th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. I'm kind of tired of the cloudy and rainy morning that we're having. We're going to head to sunny South Florida. Our guest pastor this morning is the Reverend Alan Cook, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida. Good morning, Pastor Cook.
Good morning, and welcome to sunny South Florida.
Thanks so much for taking some time to study with us this morning. Tell us about Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida.
Well, we are a very small church. The size of the congregation is about 30 in the wintertime because of our snowbirds and so forth. We end up maybe worshiping about 65 or 70 on a Sunday morning. We're in a town that is very small, about 7,000 people, and we are in the heart of Sugar Land. We have U.S. Sugar here, and we raise sugar cane and so forth. We're also the bass fishing capital of the world. So it's that kind of folk that we have around to deal with.
Wonderful. So sugar and bass fishing, how do you spend your time?
At church.
Well,
studying and so on, getting ready. See, because we're so small, I have no secretary or anything like that. So I have to do everything from the bulletin to the PowerPoints to you name it.
And they're delivering God's good gifts in Sugartown and the South capital of bass fishing. We appreciate that you refrain from all that bass fishing. You get everything done so that God's good gifts are delivered.
I wish I were a fisherman, but I'm not. So I enjoy watching other people having a good time doing it.
Well, we're going to study Acts chapter 28 this morning, verses 1 through 15. Is there any context or any background you'd like for us to understand before we dig in?
Well, obviously, if you've been going through all of Acts, you know that Paul has wanted to get to Rome for a long time, as he wrote in the introduction to his letter to the Romans. And finally, he's going to get there. Finally, it's going to be a tough trip. It's going to be difficult. He's going to have to go through all kinds of bad things, including the shipwreck that got them to the island that we're going to talk about this morning. But it was still God's way of getting Paul to Rome, and so he'd have the opportunity to share the gospel with the then-known world, because not only do the roads lead to Rome, but they also radiate from Rome. And so if he wanted to get the gospel to the whole world, Rome was the place to do it, I think he was thinking. And finally, he gets there.
All righty. So on a journey, and so they end up on this island. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We're in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. If you have questions today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us your questions and comments, KFUO at KFUO.org. We're in Acts chapter 28, verse 1. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. All right. So they are on, they were shipwrecked and on this island called Malta.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about this island, if anything?
Well, I don't know a great deal about it, to be very honest with you. It was called Malite, but it is what we know about as Malta today, and it obviously had a group of people on it that didn't know how to speak Greek, because the Greek text calls them Barbaroi, or barbarians. We translated the native people. because it simply meant that they didn't know how to speak the language, and therefore it sounded like they were just babbling along, kind of like the Tower of Babel or Babel. I don't know a great deal about it. It's about, 100 and some miles from the coast of Italy. And more than that, I'm not sure.
So they end up on this island, as you said, Melite, or as we know it today, Malta. And the people there, the native people, showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. So they were hospitable toward Paul and those who were with him.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how sometimes the people that are not Christian are more hospitable than sometimes Christians are? I've noticed that in various communities from which I came, that sometimes they have a better sense of welcoming than some of us as Christians, because we have all of the scriptural background and so forth, and sometimes that builds up kind of a prejudice against people. These people had no prejudice against anybody, it seemed, and they were just glad to help anybody. And so I think as Christians, we can take a good lesson from that even though we have all of the teachings of Scripture and so forth, that at the same time, before that can become a part of the conversation, we need to be a welcoming people and open to just enjoy people for who they are. And then once we build up a relationship, then we can talk God's word to them and hopefully convert them and they become brothers and sisters in Christ with us.
So build them a fire when it's rainy and cold and welcome them.
Yeah, they sure did. And if you know the Mediterranean kind of climate like I do, because I came before I came here, I came from Los Angeles, and we know that the summer times are wonderful there, just as they are in Florida here. But the winter time there, when it's the rainy season, it can get really chilly. So for them to come out in the middle of the cold and the rain and so on said a lot about them, I think.
When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." So Paul decides to help build the fire, puts a bundle of sticks on it, and a viper, a snake, comes out of the bundle.
Isn't it interesting what Paul was doing? Here he is, probably the greatest missionary of all time, and he didn't shirk any of the responsibility that the other people from that ship had as well. He actually went out and participated in gathering a bundle of sticks so they could help with the fire. Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe tells us again something as pastors especially, that just preparing God's word is not the only example that we want to set, but also participating and being a part of the congregation and so on. A viper coming out, isn't it interesting that a lot of people today are saying that there are no vipers, there are no poisonous snakes on Malta, and therefore there couldn't have been that kind of a situation for Paul. And yet Luke is here doing the writing, and it seems to me that Dr. Luke would understand the difference between a regular snake and a viper, don't you think?
Probably, knowing his background as a physician, I would think that he would have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, and so there may not be any there now, but I suspect that we'd have to follow his example in the Holy Spirit's lead, of course, to say there was an actual viper there that had fastened to his hand. And then the interesting thing I see about that also is that the natives, even though they're not Christian and even though they probably had no understanding of the Old Testament or anything like that, that still they knew right and wrong, good and bad, and they would have known that Paul was a prisoner because of the guards around there, the Roman guards and so forth. And so it's interesting that the word for justice here is capitalized, which meant those people at that time considered justice to be like a goddess, and that justice, this goddess, would have to be satisfied, so that Paul had to have done something wrong in order for him to have this viper grip on to him, and therefore their sense of, quote, justice was that he would have to end up dying.
No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. This viper is going to carry out what is right.
Exactly.
He is due. Mm-hmm. Verse 5, he, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So he goes from being a murderer to a god.
Yeah, that happened before, didn't it, in the book of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas were considered, what, Zeus and Hermes or something like that. And it's interesting how people have this innate sense of understanding that there's something unusual going on here. And so if he didn't die, if that wasn't justice's way of getting rid of him, then he must be an unusual creature and he must be a god. And so they elevate him. But again, I think it's the darkened mind that people, without a sense of the true God, what they'll fall for all the time. You know, they'll go from one thing to another, just jumping, trying to find somehow something that will give them some kind of certainty or whatever, an understanding of what's going on. And it's really kind of sad, I think, as we know the true God and as we understand his love for us and so on, we don't have to be jumping around. Because this God who saved Paul was also the one that saved all of them when they crashed into the rocks and were all taken overboard and got themselves into Malta in the first place.
So they think that he is a murderer. Now they think he is a god. They're waiting for this, for him to fall down dead, but he doesn't, so they think that he's a god. Now, verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hand on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the text today. We are studying with the Reverend Alan Cook, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around. We'll continue the study of Acts chapter 28 right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Oz Guinness about a Christian renaissance. We'll discuss suppressing a depraved conscience with Dr. Jay Bujaszewski, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus washing the disciples' feet from John chapter 13.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 8:21 Central Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in Acts chapter 28 this morning, verses 1 through 15. We're studying with the Reverend Alan Koch, Past Cook, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida. Pastor Cook, anything else about this this first section, verses 1 through 6, before we go on to the next section? Anything else you would like to share with us before we press on?
No, let's go ahead.
All right. Verse 7. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. So tell us, this is more about the people of this island. Now, in the neighborhood that place, there were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. Do we know anything else about him?
Well, obviously, he is probably the Roman prefect or governor of that area. And so he's in charge of everything that goes on for the Roman governor. And I understand that Malta was a part of the province of Sicily in the Roman way of governing things. And so they went to see him and they welcomed Paul. I don't know if he knew that Paul was a murderer or not, or thought he was a murderer like the other ones. Maybe it was because the people said he was a god that he thought he better get a hold of him, since there was such a pantheon of gods in the Roman religious structure that maybe he wanted to talk to them and so on. So he entertained them well. Again, like the folks of his island, he set the good example and for 3 days welcomed them. Now, whether it was just Paul and his guard and maybe the ship captain, or whether it was all, what was there, 278 of them, I think, that had been on the ship. If he had entertained them all, he must have had quite a large estate.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he was a very welcoming kind of guy. And the problem goes on then in verse 8, of course, with his father being sick. And Paul being able to do what he had done many times before, and that is help in that kind of a situation. And so I don't know if he's trying to be nice to someone who was so nice to him, or if he's just carrying on, which I think it is. He's just carrying on the mission that God gave him to help out where he could. And so when Publius's daddy is sick, he's going to help if he can. And so he prays to God for insight into whether he ought to help or not. And obviously God gave him the go-ahead to do the healing. And so he lays his hands on him and healed him. Pretty amazing. And I'm sure really impressed Publius. And not only Publius, but imagine what this Roman centurion that was guarding Paul, what kind of a picture he was getting of him. Not only had he saved everybody on the ship because of this vision that he had had from God, but now he was curing people? Wow, the centurion must have been really impressed with the Apostle Paul, and maybe that's one of the reasons why when they get to Rome, they don't throw him into a prison, they let him rent a house and stay outside of prison.
I'd like to talk just for a moment about the healing here. We see Paul healing in throughout Acts, and it's discussed throughout Scripture. There are some instances where Paul and Jesus and others will point out that your faith has made you well because you have faith that you are well. But in these cases, it doesn't necessarily, you know, when Paul's healing someone, it's not necessarily in the case where that person has faith. We don't necessarily know if that person has faith. It doesn't seem like in this case when he's healing Publius's father that it's a matter of his, you know, the infirm being a believer in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
But do you think maybe that a result of it made him a believer?
Oh, I absolutely. I think that may be the case. I was just curious in the differences between those instances of healing.
Exactly, but we have to remember it's not the faith that does the healing; it's God who does the healing. And so, if God has a purpose in using Paul in this situation to heal a man, can you imagine the impression that left on him? And obviously other people, because the next verse says that the rest of the people on the island brought all the disease for Paul to heal too. So something was going on there in terms of trusting the fact that Paul had a power that not everybody has.
And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured, as you mentioned. And they also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. So again, more hospitality.
Yes, but just think why they did this. I mean, after healing all of the people and their diseases and Publius, the leader's dad, can you imagine what they were thinking of Paul and all these other guys? I think this was a way of saying thanks. Thanks for all you did for us. Growing out of that gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Anything else up through verse 10 that you'd like to point out before we go on to the next section?
No, I just think it's an amazing way that God gets people to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we had some folks in Los Angeles who had come from Iran, and they were formerly Muslim and so forth. But they laid a special emphasis on dreams, for instance, and how in the Bible dreams were so very important. And these folks had that same idea. And I think God used those dreams because they didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the book there to understand what God was doing. And so God worked in other ways to bring about the faith. And I think this kind of thing was going on here where he healed all these people and so on. It got their attention. And can you imagine that Paul was quiet during this time? I can't. I would imagine he was sharing the love of God with them and how great a God he had to be able to heal all these people. It wasn't him doing it, but it was really God through Jesus Christ that was doing it.
Mm-hmm. And now we get into the section that we've been waiting for, Paul going to Rome, verse 11. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after one day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And my geography is really, really weak.
Don't you think that's a good Lutheran verse, though, to have three taverns there? I'm sorry, that's awful, but it just makes me laugh every time I read that.
So after... go ahead.
I understand that, if you look at at a map, and there's a good one in our study Bibles that we have, that they came up the coast, ended up at Rhegium, which is right at the tip of the boot of Italy, and then came up to Puteoli, which I guess is the port really for Rome, and Neapolis as well, which is right next to it there. And so they're just coming north more and more each time because of the way the winds were set up. And I understand the sailing winds started about February 7th. So that's probably about the time that they left Malta, maybe a little later, to head toward first Syracuse and then Rhegium and then finally the Puteoli and then finally to Rome.
And there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. So we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. What is a forum? Came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns.
Well, that would be the area in which they sold their goods, kind of almost like a market.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also what they called a bema there, where judgments took place and town meetings took place and things like that. I understand that it was about 40 miles from Rome. So they're taking a nice long walk, and that three taverns was about 30 miles or so from Rome. So they're there on their way, but at the same time spending some time in these two places and meeting up with the brothers, which I think is just amazing. Just amazing. Paul, can you imagine what he's thinking now? These guys, he's been wanting to be there to talk with them, to share the gospel with them, and they with him, and so on, as he said in his letter to the Romans. And finally he sees some of them. One of the commentaries said that this was like a deputized delegation that came from the church in Rome. So the people in Rome must have known that Paul was coming somehow. A message got to them, and they sort of deputized people and sent them down to greet Paul because they were so anxious to see him and to greet him and so on. And that just encouraged Paul like crazy. And that's, I think, what happens every Sunday morning when we get together as God's people in church. You know, we see the brothers, we see, and that's Paul's term, by the way, not just for males, but for males and females. It's just the fellow Christians, and we get together and we're encouraged by each other as God speaks to us in his word and as we share the Lord's Supper together and so on. It just builds us up and builds us up so that we have courage to continue on and to do what we know we need to do every day in our daily work.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, what can we gain from this? What would you like for us to learn from this text today? I mean, we have Paul shipwrecked on the island of Malta, bitten by a viper, shakes it off, and it throws it in the fire, and he's perfectly fine. But then people start worshiping him, or at least thinking he's a god, and then but they received hospitality, he heals someone, and now they finally make their way to Rome, and there they found brothers and are invited to stay with them for 7 days. We see a lot about hospitality here in this text.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And very important for us all as people come to our churches as well, that we're very open to them and greet them with open arms, and our folks really do here, because we're so small as a congregation that they know it's important that we greet everyone and encourage everyone to stay with us so that we continue to exist as a congregation as well. But just the wonderful care that God asks us to provide for people. But I really don't think that's the only thing that's important in this text. I think this is the climax of the book of Acts, that Paul finally gets to Rome. All of the stuff that went on in between is important and great and all of that. But finally, this simple phrase, "and so we came to Rome," and I bet you Paul is just bursting with the desire now to share with these Roman folks, the Christians there and the Jewish people there, and getting that message then from Rome to the whole world. That's got to be, you know, in his mind since the call on the road to Damascus, when God gave him that mission to the Gentiles. Here he finally is going to deal with the whole world. And I think Paul had in his mind that he could actually conquer the whole world for Christ. What a great attitude that is for all of us, isn't it? That we, each one of us, can conquer the world for Christ if we will just do what God calls us to do every day. And I think that's, Paul's got to be just bursting with excitement here.
We're given to do whatever God has given us to do, and he gives us all that we need in order to do it.
Right, and that, exactly.
We see that here with Paul, certainly.
Yeah.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 15, with the Reverend Alan Cook, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida. Pastor Cook, thanks so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study the Daily Lectionary.
Well, it was a pleasure, and I hope some of the folks that I know there in St. Louis are listening. I was a part of the Lutheran Church of Webster Gardens for some time and know a number of folks. And then when I came back to the seminary, I went back there to the Lutheran Church of Webster Gardens to do my field work. So I hope that we're making some connections this morning.
Certainly.
A group of people.
Absolutely. I'm sure that there are some folks in the neighborhood listening, as well as around the globe on KFUO.org. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning, and thanks for the warm wishes from sunny Florida this morning, as we're sitting here in a dreary, cloudy, rainy morning here in St. Louis. So we appreciate the warm wishes.
Well, God bless you very much.
Thanks. God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our special segment, our new segment. We're going to take a look at Ministry Highlight with Rural and Small Town Mission. We're going to hear from the Reverend Todd Kohlbaum, and he's going to check in with a vicar today in Rural and Small Town Ministry. So hope you can join us for that coming up in just a few minutes right around the corner. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.